Take your Bibles and turn with me, if you would, to the book of Deuteronomy, Deuteronomy chapter 1, verses 24 and 25. When you have your finger there, turn over to Numbers chapter 13, where we'll be also looking at tonight in the brief time that we have together before our members' meeting. We're studying the valleys in Scripture, and tonight we want to look at the Valley of Eshcol. Last week, we looked at a different valley. First week, we looked at refreshing truths from the valley. And so tonight, we want to look at this valley in Deuteronomy chapter number 1. Look at with me verse number 24 and verse number 25. And they turned and went up into the mountain and came into the valley of Eshcol and searched it out. And they took of the fruit of the land in their hands and brought it down unto us and brought us word again and said, it is a good land which the Lord our God doth give us. We've learned that valleys in our lives are inevitable. That means they're going to come. That means we don't control when we go in a valley. God controls those times when we enter valleys. Sometimes valleys are inexplicable. We don't have all the reasons why we're in the valley or facing the valley. Sometimes, and all the time actually, valleys are impartial. That means they fall on the just and they fall on the unjust. We all go through valleys. We've learned to keep in mind that mountaintops and valleys are temporary. We've learned not to build a on a mountaintop and not to camp in a valley. God doesn't want us on either one of those places permanently. And we've learned do not let your life become all about your valley. Remember, it's not how deep your valley is, but it's what you leave behind that counts. We're talking about the Valley of Eshcol tonight, the valley that the 12 spies went into that were just inside. This valley was just inside the promised land. The Israelites came to the door of the promised land at Kadesh Barnea, and they appointed 12 spies. Remember that? Those spies went over into the promised land, and they said it was a good land. It was a land that flows with milk and honey. They brought back grapes. In fact, a lot of grapes. In fact, so many grapes that two had to hold the stick of grapes as they marched back to where the children of Israel were camping. In fact, if you look at Numbers 13 and verse number 23, the Bible says, and they came unto the brook of Eshcol and cut down from thence a branch with one cluster of grapes, and they bare it between two upon a staff, and they brought of the pomegranates and of the figs. A number of things that I believe this valley represents before all of us tonight, and we face this valley sometimes in our lives. The Valley of Eshcol first represents the valley of faith versus fear. The valley of faith versus fear. How many of you have a fear of flying? You don't like to fly, all right? A number of you. How many of you have a fear of public speaking? You don't like to get up and speak in front of other people. Okay, how many of you have a fear of heights? Oh, we're exposing fears tonight. It's wonderful. How many of you have a fear of the dark? All right. Karina, do you still go to bed with a nightlight? How many of you have a fear of death? Maybe to some degree. We can fear that. Fear of spiders. Fear of spiders. Oh, yes. Well, we know how to scare some people now. How about fear of failure? You ever feared failure before? How about a fear of rejection? Boy, I'm so glad to be on the other side of marriage. Because 25 years ago, would go when I'm single, shaking. She's going to say no, I know it. Could I take you out on a date? No. All right. Rejection. All right. You know what I'm talking about. Fears. You know, there are valleys that bring about fear. And in this particular setting of these 12 spies, there was a problem. One of the reasons why they lost in this valley, so to speak, is because they chose fear over faith.
And it was a problem of perspective. Numbers 13, look at verse number 2. The Bible says here, "Send now men that they may search the land of Canaan, which I give unto the children of Israel." Who gives? God gives, right? God is speaking. God says, "Send these men and send them into the land, and I give this land to the children of Israel. Of every tribe of their fathers shall ye send a man, every one a ruler among them." Now look at verse number 27. Verse number 27. "And they told him and said," this is to Moses now, the spies are back. "And they told him and said, we came unto the land whither thou sentest us." Wait, verse number 2, who sent them? God sent them. What was the spies' perspective in verse number 27? Moses, you sent us. There's always a problem with fear when we are man-centered rather than God-centered. And here, this valley represented a valley where they were going to have tension between something that's fearful in their lives and something that they ought to trust God in or put their faith in God in this situation. And so if you look at Numbers 13, verse 21, the Bible says, "So they went up and searched the land from the wilderness of Zin unto Rehob, as men came to Hamath, and they ascended by the south and came unto Hebron, where Heman, Shishai, and Talmai, the children of Anak, were." Now Hebron was built 7 years before Zoan in Egypt, and they came unto the brook of Eshcol, and cut down from thence a branch with one cluster of grapes, and they bare it between two upon a staff, and they brought of the pomegranates and of the figs, and the place was called the brook Eshcol, because of the cluster of grapes which the children of Israel cut down from thence, and they returned from searching of the land after 40 days. My, there were some blessings in the land. They brought back blessing. There was opportunity. If they would take a step of faith, there was abundance of blessing on the other side. But they chose to look at the obstacle instead of God. Now, two said, we're well able to go in and get the land that the Lord has given to us. Oh, the Lord has given to us. But 10 said, no, we can't do that. There was a problem with their perspective. Their perspective. Question in your life right now, whatever valley you're in that has this tension of fear, and on the other side, faith, what are you looking at? What's bringing about the fear, and what's frustrating your faith? Because when we give in to fear, we fail in faith, right? These are opposites. These are not the same. We can't hold on to both. If you're going to move forward in faith, you have to overcome fear. If you're not going to move forward in faith, then you cling to fear. What in your life has the tension of fear and faith? Man, I know I'm supposed to do something for God, but if I do it, fear. Fear, the problem of perspective. There's a second problem, and this came to me in my study. There were 12 men that went into the land. They saw the same things. They saw the same giants. They saw the same grapes. They saw the land flowing with milk and honey. And they came back with different hearts. It tells me something. And I think that Proverbs chapter 16 opens this up to us. If you turn there, Proverbs 16:1, not only did they have a perspective problem, but secondly, they had a preparation of the heart problem. Preparation of the heart. Dear Christian, may I remind you tonight that your faith needs to be strong all the time. Your exposure to the Word of God needs to be daily, because it is our exposure to the Word that builds our faith. 12 men went to spy on Canaan. 10 hearts were not prepared. 2 were. Here's what the Bible says. It says it in Proverbs chapter number 16 and verse number 1. "The preparations of the heart in man and the answer of the tongue is from the Lord." Now watch this. We know this, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. If God is preparing the heart and God has built your heart in strong faith, you've given yourself to the right things and God's rewarded that with strong faith, then guess what? When the valley hits, you can still be like the two guys who said, we'll come through it. We'll make it. We can take the land. But there were 10 that didn't have their hearts prepared. You know when Christians fall? They fall in valleys when they haven't prepared their hearts ahead of time. Ahead of time. These people all saw the same thing. But some of them had their hearts not strong towards the Lord. Not focused on the Lord. Now I want you to understand the scene here. These people had just come out of Egypt. What happened in Egypt? 10 plagues. They saw God deliver them. What happened coming out of Egypt as they crossed the Red Sea? God opened it up. They looked back. God closed it up. All of Pharaoh's army was destroyed. These 12 spies saw that. You would have thought all 12 would have been strong in faith. But brethren, just because God does something for us doesn't mean our hearts have responded properly. You know, as you count your blessings and we count our praises at Mount Zion Baptist Church, it ought to affect our hearts in faith. We ought to leave tonight being stronger in faith, having heard the testimonies and the works of God's people. Right? We should be able to leave that way. Not knowing if a valley is there tomorrow or Friday or Saturday, our hearts better be prepared. There was a failure in preparation here. These people had, man, they had things to look back at, very recent in their nation's history, and say, man, look at what God did here. But 10 of them didn't have enough faith to march into the promised land and take the abundant blessing that God had given to them. They had a problem in perspective. They had a problem in preparation. The valley represents a tension between faith and fear. Fear of the future. Some people are paralyzed by that. Right now, some people are paralyzed by that in their lives. Fear of getting hurt again as a believer. Maybe you've been hurt. Hurt. Is that possible? Oh, yeah. That's very possible. We have friendly fire. In fact, I'm reading a book right now on surviving friendly fire, dealing with believers getting hurt. Okay? Is that real? Does that keep you from serving? Does that keep you from jumping back in and serving the Lord and realizing that, you know, what I do primarily is for the Lord above all else, above anybody else? I was walking up from lunch the other day. We were talking about Johnny Raymeyer over here at the church many times. Johnny, I sure do appreciate all you're doing for the Lord. I'm doing it for Him. That's what he did. Over and over again, besides he would say, glad you made it. But beyond that, I'm doing it for him. Fear of hurt, again, that's a real thing. That will be a tension against faith and stepping out to do something for the Lord. Fear of obeying God and what your family will say, that's a real, real thing that people face in their families. Fear of bringing up a hard topic in your marriage, that you'll be shut down? Well, that's a real thing sometimes. Fear of starting something new in your life? Hey folks, these are real valleys that people face. And when they go through these valleys, there is a tension between fear and faith. That's what they faced here. That's what they faced in the valley. We must be careful in the valley not to allow the giants to govern our perspective. There are giants. But we must remember that we have a God that has proved Himself over and over and over again. And so, remember, the fear of man bringeth a snare. Proverbs 29:25. It brings a trap in your life. Fear paralyzes. Faith moves forward. Fear hinders obedience. Faith propels obedience. Fear emphasizes the obstacles. Faith emphasizes the power of God. Which is taking place in your life tonight? Are you in a valley of tension? Give you a second thought in 3 minutes we have left. This valley is also a representation of I can or I can't. I can or I can't. I want you to look at verses 30 and 31 of Numbers 13. Verses 30 and 31. And Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, "Let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it." Question, was Caleb an I canner or an I canter? He was an I canner. I can. We can. Now look at the very next verse. But the men that went up with him said, "We be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we." Wait, the other 10 spies? Is that an I can statement or an I can't statement? It's an I can't statement. Do you understand that the valley represented a big tension between I can and I can't? It created tension. If you go into chapter 14, now the children of Israel are murmuring against Moses. Wait, there was no murmuring before the spies came back, but now the spies came back and there's a tension between the two and a tension between the ten. The ten influence the children of Israel. The two influence Moses. Now we have two sides and there's tension. Not only was there murmuring in verse number two, in verse number six, Caleb and Joshua rent their clothes. Man, this was frustrating. Oh my, we're not going to follow God's plan here. Verse number 10, the congregation bids stone Moses. Boy, this I can versus I can't, this problem turned into tension. Secondly, it created confusion. It created confusion. The people heard different reports. Huh, I wonder if we should follow them. Or if we should follow them. You understand that when we're splitting and divided like that into an I can and I can't and a fear and a faith mode, hey, it's going to cause problems. It caused tension. Secondly, it caused confusion. Thirdly, it caused stagnancy. It created stagnancy. Here are these people, man, they're right on the precipice of the promised land. 12 spies are sent in. They return. They give a report. They could go into the land. The grapes are there. The milk is there. The land to possess and to be divided among the tribes are there. The honey's there. But now, we're stuck. We're not going forward. We're going to be in this wilderness. So the people say, well, it'd be better to go backwards to Egypt than it would be to stay in the wilderness and die in the wilderness. It created stagnancy, no progress, no growth, no conquering anything for God. Brethren, do you understand what fear and the I can't attitude does to you spiritually? It stops your growth. It stops you moving forward for the Lord. It stopped the whole nation of Israel. It created stagnancy. It created wandering. One commentator titled the two groups of spies as the contenders and the dead enders. Where do they go from here? They're going to wander in the land for 40 years. Turn over in your Bibles to Proverbs 21. I close with this verse. Perhaps you find yourself here. Perhaps you find yourself wrestling with a decision that still has to be made. And it's going to bring about consequences. You're kind of standing and looking at the decision. Should I or shouldn't I? There may be a right and wrong to the decision. There may be a wisdom to the decision and a foolishness to the decision. By the way, folks, there are a lot of things that are not necessarily right and wrong, but there are a lot of things that are a matter of wisdom versus foolishness. There are a lot of decisions people make today. They may not be sinful decisions, but they're foolish decisions. They're not weighing the right things in the decision-making process. Here, it created stagnancy and wandering. Look at verse number 16. Proverbs 21, verse 16. The man that wandereth out of the way of understanding. Boy, they had a way of understanding. Man, God said, I give you this land. Boy, that's a way of understanding. I can march right down that road. Boy, they wandered out of that way of understanding. What happened? Shall remain in the congregation of the dead. Is that a picture of what happened to Israel? What happened? They stayed in the wilderness for 40 years. A few of them die. A few more die. A few more die. They're in the congregation of the dead constantly until all of them die, except those that were 20 and under. God said, we'll give you a chance. But that whole generation that could have gone in, because of fear, because of I can't, they remained in a wandering position for 40 years. My friend, the Valley of Eshkol is a very critical valley in your life. It's a very critical valley. It's a valley where you feel a tension between fear and faith. Between I can and I can't. What is it in your life that you're feeling that tension in right now? And let the message tonight push you in the right direction. Philippians 4 says, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Don't let fear conquer you in this valley.